It's been about 5 years or more, I think, since Quentin was in St. Louis for the purpose of giving an update on Glen Haven Youth Ranch. And we are pleased to have him back here in, 2009. And at a new place. You've never addressed the congregation from here, have you? So we're happy to have you at our new church. He will be giving us an update on what's going on at Glen Haven and has some actual pictures to show you, I believe. That's probably Glenn Cunningham. He was an Olympic star, as I recall. And he suffered from great burns, and they said he would never run again because of those burns. But he said, I will never quit. And he wound up getting, was it the gold?
Silver
medal. Pretty good.
Well, he had 105 temperatures.
Oh, that slowed him down? Yeah. Excuses. So before we begin, let's start with a moment of prayer, rebound if necessary. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful that Quentin can be with us today. We thank you for the wonderful work that is being taken up at Glen Haven, the children's souls who are being managed and led forward in your plan. It is our prayer that this institution will continue forward, doing those things that are proper, necessary, and needful in order to introduce these young people into a functional society. We thank you for Quentin's service to this organization for so many years. We thank you for his visit here. We ask your blessings upon his message as we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks, Joe. What a honor and privilege it is. Well, it's a privilege to be anywhere after I've been through what I've been through. As most of you know, a year ago I resigned as executive director at Glen Haven. And Beverly and I, for just a little while, wondered what we were going to do. We ended up being rehired by Glen Haven within about 2 minutes, and they asked me to be director of development. Now, what that really means is I'm semi-retired, and I can kind of do what I want to do, and every once in a while, I do this. I'm so thankful to be part of this organization now for 16 years. It has been a personal ministry of mine and blessing for me and my family to be involved in Glen Haven Youth Ranch. We have got to see a number of kids come to the Lord. And in fact, of all the years I've been there, I only know of one young man who did not accept Christ. And we found out later that he had. So we feel very good about the fact that we at least get them saved, Joe. And then the big responsibility we feel after that for the young men and young women that come to Glen Haven is to help them in discipleship. We want to help them grow, and we want to help them develop in the Lord. We want them to know who God is and how He can help them, and we want them to understand, obviously, the right way to do things. All of the things Joe said this morning are the challenges we have at Glen Haven. We're dealing with young people, and usually more so even their parents and the families involved and even the guardians involved who are really caught up in the culture, the system that Joe's talking about that is so devastating right now to the younger generations. And it's in my opinion, and I think Joe's too from what I heard, it's fixing to show up in a drastic way and already has in our wonderful nation. The production, the ability to respond to authority, the work ethic, the relationship skills, all the things that those of us who've got a little age on us take for granted is, in my opinion, going to go away if it has not already. And our ministry, our desire is to help as many of these young people as we can, and then to step outside the boundaries of Glen Haven, the 200 acres we have there, and show other people what to do and how to do it. And because of the fact that we've had such intense training there and such a humbling experience trying to be involved in and get the job done in the ministry we're in. It is a very humbling experience to be at Glen Haven. I'm dressed up and look nice right now, but most of the time we're in jeans and we're on a working ranch with horses and cows, and you know what the results of that is. And we have a colt that's being born this week. We had two calves last week, and if you don't think that's an eye-opening experience to a young man or young girl who's come from a city and didn't even know that when they go to McDonald's they eat a cow, they all of a sudden don't want to go to McDonald's anymore. We have some wonderful, funny experiences that all parents do involved in watching these young people grow up. But the sad part of it is that these young people are carrying a lot of pain. They're carrying a lot of the misinformation, and they have skewed everything that they have learned has been skewed when it gets to them. And victimization is a way of life in our country today. We are taking on a slave mentality. It's other people's responsibility. It's other people's fault. And therefore, we're becoming a slave nation as far as the way we depend on other people. The young people today, on the most part, and not all of them, and not all parents, but on the most part, the majority now, has really bought into the fact that it's just not their fault. It's just not their responsibility. And they just have no hope that there can be anything different but the way they've operated as a child. And they're going to go through adulthood with that attitude. And that's going to have a devastating effect on their future and our future. Our hope and our prayer is that God will allow some wake-up call that can change things. Let me tell you very quickly, and I really want to get through this, and Joe, you don't even have a clock up here.
No, you can go as long as you want to that way.
Oh, that's great. Do you get out and eat lunch?
There's a clock on the
floor. Is there?
Yes, I really do.
I have one up here, but what time do you normally finish? This might be fun.
I said somewhere around 7:45.
Okay, great. Thanks for that answer. That's leadership when you do that. That's rare, by the way. I don't know, and it don't matter. Have y'all heard those terms? Well, they're still very active among teenagers when you ask them a question or ask them information or ask them to be responsible. And that's the challenge we have. Glenn Cunningham influenced Jody Brown when he started the ranch in 1984. And so in honor of his friendship and his relationship to Glenn, he named the ranch Glen Haven, because Glenn and his wife had had children for many years in Kansas on a ranch, and there was a lot of influence there. Glenn, of course, was a very famous man in the 30s and 40s. He ran in the 1936 Olympic with Jesse Owens. He came in second, and he was really would have come in first, they say, but he did have an infected tooth, and he had 105 temperature, and he ran anyway in Berlin. And his philosophy is never quit. And I thought that was mighty appropriate this morning when you taught what you did, Joe, because this man has been, that attitude has been the standard we've used to teach these young people at the ranch. We're 50 miles north of Hot Springs, Arkansas. We're 50 miles south of Russellville. We're on Highway 7. It's a scenic highway through the Ouachita National Forest. It's a beautiful area. We own 150 acres for the boys' ranch, and 7 miles away we have 40 acres for our girls' ranch, which was the original piece of property for Glenhaven. We sold it a few years back and then rebought it again, and we've been very blessed. We've had girls now for the second time. We stopped for a while, but for the second time, about 4 years, right, Beverly? I think it's been about 4 years. And it is a wonderful part of our ministry. We had quite a bit of fear in restarting the girls' ranch because in the amount of trouble and concern in the amount of ministry it takes to help young girls, it's twice as much as helping young boys. Just because of some of the emotional issues and also sexual abuse, as well as the fact that you just got to be more careful as far as the men working around the girls. So there's a lot of cautions and concerns that had to come into play again there in the ministry. But we have had a tremendously successful time with the girls. And we usually see them respond quicker and better in the short term because of their willingness to just give up and listen and make changes in their life. So even though it's harder, it's very rewarding. We have right now a beautiful campus. Everything is green. You notice I'm sniffling. The last 3 weeks we've had pollen so thick that do you have that here? Boy, come see us. We'll really educate you. This is a aerial view of Glenhaven. This is the 150-acre main campus. We're 1 mile. That's 1 mile from one side of that or from the edge of our property to the lake. Our other property is right on the lake, and it's back about 3 miles to your right up on the screen here. Now, we've been very fortunate to have that acreage. We got it very cheap years ago, and it has turned out to be a real blessing because what better place to take hurting kids than to put them on a ranch? They're isolated in many ways, but there's so much to do, as you can imagine. And you and I, most of us, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of young people in here. But most of us remember Roy Rogers and Gene Autry. Of course, these kids don't know anything about that, so we get to go out there and show them what cowboying is all about. And it's not all fun. There's some work involved. But we use equine therapy very strongly now at the ranch, and we find that kids respond very good, very well, and very quickly to an animal relationship. And in that, we can get feelings rolling again. We can get hope going again. They can find out that a horse loves them unconditionally real quick, and therefore we can kind of help them connect the dots. So there's a lot of issues there that helps us to get where we want to go with these kids. This is just a little identifier here to let some of you know. How many have been to our campus? Raise your hands. Okay, five or six of you. A lot of changes have gone on over the last 16 years since I've been there. God has really blessed us in adding facilities. But the biggest change is we've become more knowledgeable. And I think we've become a little better about providing for these kids and giving them a healing environment. I want to run through this pretty quick so I can, if you have any questions, I'll have a little time at the end if that's okay, Joe, and also kind of tell you what our philosophy is of how we deal with kids, because in most places I speak, people want to know that. How do you do this, and what's your philosophy? So we'll talk about that. So excuse the fact that I'm going to go pretty fast here. I've got some movies in here, so there's a little 50 seconds or 2 minute, 3 minute little picture shows involved in this. So we'll get to that as we go along. The office and school building, we actually operate our ministry off of this concept in James 1:27. It says, look after the orphans and the widows and their distresses. Just about every young person that comes to the ranch, we have either a real widow or some lady who's been abandoned by her husband and needs help. And I think it's the church's responsibility to help. And so consequently, we have a facility and the ability to bring these young people into our facility and fulfill this principle in our relationship with them. Here's an astounding fact. 60% of all children under 16 years of age in America today does not live with both birth parents. Can you imagine? Did you know that it's that drastic? And it's an epidemic. And every child, with few exceptions, that lives in a situation like this, they have one parent that they tell all the time, you're not my parent. In the process, they take that other half of the parenting role out of the equation, and they miss half of the parenting, and most of the time, though, it wouldn't even be good parenting if it was allowed. But consequently, even if they're in with a couple, that doesn't mean they're going to get a mother and dad balance in their parenting process. We are run by a board of directors. We're very appreciative that three men in this church have been on our board off and on for over 12 years. And you may not have known you were that involved in our ministry, but you are. And we just appreciate it so much. Many of you support us individually, and we can't tell you how much we are thankful for that. You help take care of kids, and you're just as much a part of our ministry as anyone on staff. You need to recognize that, and I want to encourage you in that way, because anytime you send money to a missionary, you're doing the mission work. You're just doing a different part of it. And God's using you just like he does me. And I don't think there's a more or less important person in the church. We all fulfill those roles. So thank you for doing what you do with us and for us. As I resigned, I asked the board of directors if they would consider Dwayne Webb as the new director. He's been at the ranch 18 years. He came as a young man, and in the process of coming there, he just wanted to teach math. And he was just married. About a year and a half after he was there, we were out of house plants. And so one day about 10 o'clock in the morning, we asked him if he would consider, so we wouldn't have to lose a group of kids, if he would consider house parenting. He said yes. His wife is a physical therapist who worked full time in Hot Springs. He called her on the phone. She agreed. And by the time she got home that night, we had moved all her furniture. And she was moved into the house parenting role. They have sacrificed greatly over the years, and they have learned their responsibilities well. And I'm very thankful and appreciative that God has given me a comrade in arms like Dwayne Webb. He's about 47 now. He's got four children, and he has been at the ranch a long time. But many, many years ago, Dwayne was not going down the path that he had been taught. He was raised in a church, but there were some problems in the family, and his acting out very much mimicked the kids that come to the ranch as a child. And his mother and aunt And Uncle and all of his family prayed for him all the time. And so one day that prayer took effect. He had a Cadillac head on a motorcycle at 60 miles an hour. He flew 247 feet in the air. He broke 14 bones. They had to reconstruct his hip. He's lost some of the very important parts inside. And he wasn't supposed to live. 9 weeks in intensive care. And he started to recover. He still had not changed his attitude. He still was a very angry man. Young man, and a black pastor came into the hospital and wanted to pray with him. And he said, "I don't care if you pray or not." And the black minister began to pray. And he said, "God, I'm so thankful that I'm not you, because if I was you, I'd already let this man die because of his attitude." He said that was the turning point in his life. Dwayne has quite a ministry, and he doesn't tell his story to the new kids that are coming. About once every 2 to 3 years, we get him to tell the boys about his life. And his value to them goes way up real quick. But Dwayne really understands, and yet he doesn't treat them like victims. He understands that the way to get a victim out of being a victim when they really have freedom is to treat them as if they have freedom and responsibility, not to treat them as victims. So consequently, he understands the process, and he understands also the love and the understanding. And we're thankful that that's been passed through all of our staff. We have some wonderful staff that have years of experience. We have right at 400 years experience with all of our staff in child care. And we're very thankful for that, because it really makes a difference. I'm going to very quickly go through our staff here, except for one row right here. Since you know us, I decided to put a picture of our last two grandkids up here. This is kind of Beverly and I's life now, and it's a good life. It's good. This is our sixth and seventh grandchild. They were born from different families 2 days apart. It was rough on the grandparents more than it was the parents, because they got to go home after 3 days. We had to stay through the whole ordeal in the same hospital by the same doctor. But I tell you, and both redheaded. So you can imagine what that's going to produce. And we're just glad we're not the parents, we're the grandparents. But we love to get to go see them. About 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, John Thompson, to your left up here, Marge and John, took his morning walk. They'd been to the ranch 15 years. He took his morning walk. He was starting to get dementia, and we haven't seen him yet. He got lost in the forest, we assume. We had over 1,000 volunteers. It became national news. I don't know if you knew about that. We called Joe and asked you to pray, and you have been so faithful in praying for me and for us at the ranch in these situations, but we haven't found John yet. His wife made the statement 3 days later, he's either with Jesus or Jesus is with him. And she has had a marvelous attitude. She's 85. She teaches 3 hours a day in our school and tutors. And she's a wonderful asset to our ranch. But we also have another retired couple, Dee and Rick Patton. He has had a brain tumor. He's lost his eyesight. He can't hear, and yet they're one of the most faithful couples there. They're constant, and we don't pay these couples anything. They've just retired and come to the ranch and continued their ministry. We have a family philosophy. We want to teach these kids how to have a family. So that's what we're all about there at the ranch. They don't know what that means. They have a distorted view of what family means. They have a distorted view of what problem solving is. They have a distorted view of what marriage is and how it works. So consequently, they're on a path to destroy the next generation. And so our goal and our prayer is that we can help these kids redefine these important issues, virtues, principles, and character issues that they need in their life to make the changes. What a challenge it is. This is just a sampling of some of the kids we have. We have to be very careful not to tell you too much about these kids, because the law requires that we respect their and their family's privacy. But even if the law didn't, we would do that. That makes it tough on us who speak for our ministry, because I'd love to tell you the stories. And I'd love to tell you a lot of these situations. And it really hampers our ability to come in here and tell you as much as we would like to tell you about these kids and their past and what happens. But please remember them. Shiloh Valley Boys Ranch is made up of, on our campus, a central part of our campus. It has three boys' homes. Some people call them cottages. We're not a camp. We're a youth ranch. We're year-round, 365 days a year. They come and live with us, and they don't go back home except for visits, at least for a year, and sometimes all the way through high school. If we get them at 12 or 13, they'll stay with us until they're 17 or 18. And then we have kept a few of them after that to go to college, because their families didn't have the ability or didn't want to help them continue. And so we have had individuals come to us and say, you know, if you have a kid that needs some college help, we'll participate as part of that, or completely, or we've got a car to donate to any kid that comes around. And so we've had some wonderful people provide for us so that we can provide for these kids. I'm not going to spend a lot of time showing you a lot of these buildings and what they are, because they're just buildings. But this is a picture of the three homes, all the way from 4,500 square foot down to 2,800 square foot. And it takes a lot of room when you have 6 to 8 teenage boys in a house. If you've ever, I don't know if you've ever thought of it, but it's 2 gallons of milk per meal. Now think of your grocery bill, ladies. And you're 40 miles away from a grocery store. So you've got to do a lot of pre-planning, and you've got to have a pretty good sized freezer and refrigerator. And thank goodness we have those facilities there. And the Manaways have been there for 6 or 7 years as house parents. We're fixing to promote them into another position because they're ready with their 16-year-old daughter, 15-year-old daughter to move out of house parenting boys for a while. And we understand that, but they're going to take over some of the other responsibilities for a while. So we're going to need a set of house parents for this house. We are needing a set for this house right now. We just had a 52-year-old man come. His wife's coming in a few months from Colorado, and he's taking care of 2 or 3 boys in this home. And we have another couple, Bobby and Melody from Texas, have just moved in the last month, and they have moved into our other house that was empty. So we're still needing a set of house parents, and our girls' ranch, which we're fixing to show you a picture of right here, we have the Shiloh Valley Boys Ranch, and then our other property we call Hidden Valley Girls Ranch. The couple here has been house parenting for 5 or 6 years, and that's a very, very intense process of taking care of other kids 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And at some point, we understand them saying, I've done all I can, and needing to get their life back. But these are very dedicated and committed people who are willing to give a lot of their life up for these kids. And so just pray for that, would you? And if any of you are looking to parent some other kids, let me know. I know that some of you are just so excited about parenting teenagers that you want to do more of it. We almost have to sneak up on someone to get them to do this. But, I'll tell you that that girl's home is a wonderful place to go. With Bill and Cindy there as house parents, they love these kids. And there's laughter and smiling for the first time in these kids' lives every day. You know, one of the things we've discovered is that God designed all of us. He made all of us to want to. He's put a need inside of us. We have a need to feel safe. All of us. All the things that God does for me, His grace, provides safety for us. His peace, His love, His patience, all the things makes us feel safe. So we have found that that's exactly what we look to do in our homes, is make these kids feel safe. And usually it's the first time they've ever felt safe in their life. Safe from the men that are around. Safe from the women, from the talk, from the hurtful vocabulary that goes on constantly, from being put down, from being told that they're stupid or that they're always wrong, never being encouraged, never being validated as a young person. We find that that's something that we are constantly working on, is keeping our homes emotionally and physically safe for our kids, spiritually too. We have gotten, at any point in time, just about over the years, we've had one or two kids that have been spiritually abused. And I'll tell you, that's a tough one. When a kid has been disciplined by having to write scriptures, what do you think their attitude about scripture is? You know, when you use the Bible as a whipping, I think we're really doing something wrong. God doesn't do that with us. And I'm so glad I've never heard him quote a scripture to me when I was in trouble. He's always said, "I love you." And he's always provided that for us. And that's what we try to do here. Here's just some of the things, if you want to know how we operate. Excuse me. We actually have a... 8 or 9 phase approach. This 7 phase was something we cooked up a few years ago. We've added a few things, which I'll talk about here in a minute. Spiritual life, strength-based, on-campus education, work training, family and home, working ranch, equine therapy, relationship building. All of those are part of what we do every day. They're actually integrated into what we do and how we do it. And the kids most of the time don't know we're transferring from one of these processes to the other. It's all intermingled. It's really what we do as parents, isn't it, with our kids. I want you to see just a little clip here. We have a young man on staff now that knows how to put these things together. So I don't do this, Joe, but he plugs these things in, makes me feel like I'm impressive here to somebody. But these kids are constantly putting them in a position there at the ranch where they have to take responsibility for themselves and where they have to respond to authority. And where they're learning something. And it's a very exciting thing to watch their eyes and watch the smiles come when they accomplish a task and when they do something and someone validates them. It brings a lot of good things in the lives of these kids. Don't misunderstand me. We're tough on them. And we require a lot. But we also walk along beside them in the process. It's real work taking care of cows. I don't know if any of you, how many have done that? You know, we have roundups and we actually we enjoy the process of watching these. The girls are better at it than the boys, by the way. They are better bringing them in. We went down to, you remember the Hurricane Katrina. We took a couple of trips down there and helped some churches and put on roofs, and it was a great event. The boys go to Colorado. We'll talk about that in a minute. And there's just so many things that we do that are healthy for the kids. Family and home. when we say strength-based, does that communicate to you? Let me tell you what that means. There are facilities out there that actually become clinical in their approach. They bring kids in, they analyze those kids, they try to find out all their problems, and then they try to set up a program to fix their problems. Our philosophy is we bring a kid to the ranch, and we try to look for the positive things about them, and we try to encourage that. And it's just an attitude. It's a difference in attitude. We still counsel. We still work with them. We still do all the things that the other facilities do in many ways. It's just that we have a different attitude toward the children, and therefore they respond different. They recognize that we're not after the fact that they've been victimized, that we're looking at what they can accomplish and what they can do and the gifting God has given them and the possibilities of the future. And that's all new to them because all they've heard is the negative. And so we call that strength-based. Spiritual life on and off the ranch is very important to us. They go to a church off the ranch, and different couples go to different churches. We are very fortunate to have five or six churches around that is an old Baptist term, like Faith and Order, but that think like we do. But we're very appreciative that we can take the kids off the ranch so that they can get involved in with other kids and see the responsibility of assembling themselves with other believers. The spiritual life on the ranch is because it's so far. Thursday evening we have a chapel service there at the ranch. there's a lot of training and teaching. We have our own education system. Many of our staff teaches. Many of them operate two positions. They teach and work in the office or do something else. You have to be multitask to come to the ranch, and we have people that don't multitask that are multitasking at the ranch. So that's interesting. We do a lot of work. You know, if you do a lot of training with a child, but you don't teach them how to work, what have you done? If a young man can't take care of his family when he leaves you, but he's a spiritual giant, and as Joe says, he understands the doctrines, what value? There's no wisdom. there's no ability to exercise the responsibilities God has asked him to do as a man in his family. Same with the women. So we think work training is a big part of what we do and a part of what parents do. Equine therapy is just a phenomenal part of what we do. I'm going to show you part of a movie that's about 3 minutes long really will give you an idea of some of the things we do with the kids, and I'll try to explain some of this very briefly. But working with these kids turns into an in-depth counseling session when they're working with horses. Scooter McCamey, who's over our equine program, what he's doing right here is he's trying to teach these young people to follow instructions. So he's telling them to get ready to mount a horse that doesn't want to stand still. Just lead them in a circle till they get tired of that and hold a stirrup. And as long as they're not being still and they understand, they'll finally understand what you're trying to get them to do, especially our horses who've been trained. And you lead with this hand and you get them to move with this hand. Now, these kids who are angry and have seen everything done by intimidation in their life, guess what they do? They use that, watch her, she just wants to get that horse to move, and she's standing here doing this, but she's not leading the horse. You notice? And so after it's over, she says, why can you do this and I can't? And it gives us an opportunity to say, first of all, you didn't listen to what we said. We don't say it that way because that offends, but we say, you know, let me tell you what I, remember what I said? And then you very gently show them again. They still won't see it because we're all blind, aren't we, to our own failures and our own mistakes. And these kids are the same. And so you go over it and over it till they finally get it and they finally understand those little things that we're trying to teach. Every time they have the opportunity to get in, see, we don't even have a full bridle on. We just have a lead rope here and we're teaching them to ride with a lead rope. And there's a lot of issues that they have to learn as far as their demeanor. They have to learn to steer horse with their feet. They have to learn balance. And when they get through their own, we're not building up their self-esteem. It's building up. We're not manufacturing, telling them how great they are. They're accomplishing something and realizing that they can be somebody, that they can accomplish something. And so consequently, it's a very natural process and gives us a wonderful opportunity to help these kids who otherwise it would take longer to help. Let me move through this real quick. We had the Hayside trip to Hayside, Virginia, that the girls go on now, and the Colorado trip that y'all have heard of a lot that the boys go on every year. 2 weeks in Colorado and start hiking at 10,000 feet, go up to 13,000, 14,000. It's quite a fun trip. The girls go to Hayside, Virginia, one of the poorest areas in America. I say poor like they do in Alabama, so I know Joe understood that. But I say horse. Did I say it right? Okay. Well, I learned it. I've learned it by living in Texas, and my parents were from Oklahoma, so I've learned a lot of different brogues here. And I have to think, now, where am I? So I use the right language here. The girls' trip is phenomenal. They get to go up to this area. There's a small church there that's invited us back because we go up there and work with their kids. And we don't go up there and take money and give to them. We go up there and do a vacation Bible school or do some kind of camp ministry for a week while we're there. And it gives our girls a chance to get out of themselves. And to give to someone else. And they come back changed. We have many of the girls go on this trip once a year. And they come back. And everything we've taught them gets to be applied. And they come back differently because of that. This is the group that went last year. This is additionally some people from other churches that went with our 8 or 9, some of our staff and all of our girls. And they had a wonderful time. As you can see, they also get to know each other a lot better. And that's one thing that they have never done is they've never had relationships and maintained them. They don't know how. So what we're doing is trying to teach them to maintain relationships so they can maintain a marriage one day. I'm going to skip this one. I'll let you watch this only about 30 seconds. But this is about our boys, and if you want to go with some of you guys, want to strap on a pack and go with us, Joe, you can go with them. 50-pound pack on your back and get up there where there's no oxygen there. And I've run out of oxygen, so I can't do that anymore. But this is a wonderful, wonderful experience. June the 6th of this year, we'll be going back, and we do have a lot of people from churches. By the way, I keep pulling this picture up to remind folks, I used to be younger. That's Beverly and I at 14,000 feet, and we walked up there. In just a few days, we walked up in that elevation 28 miles, and we're proud of it, especially nowadays. These kids see something most people will never see in a lifetime. And we talk about... Say again?
How do you handle the altitude sickness?
We take a lot of Tums and drink a lot of water. And we spend 4 days at base camp before we go up. And there's some other things we do. Everyone takes an aspirin. Take an aspirin and Tums, and they'll eat 4 to 6 packages of Tums a day to supplement the things they're losing at that altitude, the calcium. We still have some that get sick, so that's part of it. But as you can tell, that is quite an experience, and it changes these young men's lives as well. We had some new building the last few years. We've added a vocational training. Joe, you haven't seen that. You haven't been there since that's been constructed. And our recreation building that we put in, we're so thankful. It's given us the ability to teach welding, mechanics, and woodworking. We have a full woodworking shop as well as some other facilities there as well. Mark, one of our staff members, is a certified welder. And we have other trainers that are there. We have been given a fire truck, and 7 of our staff now are volunteer firemen, and we have our own fire department at the ranch. And you wonder why we did that. We're remote, and our insurance, we have saved right at $10,000 a year on our insurance premium, having a fire truck sitting there. We still lost a house 2 years ago before we could get the fire truck up there. It burned. And we were so thankful that people helped us and others. But we're a long way from anywhere at the ranch. And we're so thankful to have this fire truck. Plus, it's great. A lot of volunteers come to the ranch. We have every day 2 to 10 people that come on site that work with our kids. And in the summer, we spend probably 3 to 6 weeks during the summer with groups coming on mission trips. So if you ever want to bring the kids or some of the adults come up, it's a wonderful opportunity for churches. We have churches who actually go on a mission trip to Glen Haven. We're not in a foreign land, but it seems like we are. So if you want to experience foreign country, come to Arkansas, and we'll give you some jobs to do. In fact, it helps us tremendously. Furniture, clothing, food, vehicles, building material, all of these things help the ranch. I wanted to run through that real quick. You guys help us so much. I can't begin to thank you for what you do. Joe talked about grandparents a while ago. And I want to talk a little bit about philosophy for just a minute. I'm just about run out of time, Joe. About 2 minutes ago, I think. But let me give you just a little bit about our philosophy. There are two basic types of parenting types that we see. Now, don't take me out of context here. I want to make sure that I explain this as much as I can. There's probably as many types of parenting as there are parents in here. But you can really put most of us in these two types. And sometimes they're very deceptive because they have to do with attitude. And I'm talking about good parents here. There are two basic types of parenting. One of them is a lot better than the other, and I'll let you define that. But this is what we have to work on at the ranch. There's behavioral parenting and there's relational parenting. Behavioral parenting is a parent who reacts to what a kid does. A relational parent concentrates on trying to understand the heart of that child and what happened when that child did that. A behavioral parent reacts, and therefore the child feels unloved because a parent is reacting to behavior and blaming that child as and identifying the hurtful behavior as the child instead of separating the two. The child matures thinking relationships are about performance. The child grows up with an unhealthy fear, especially about self and about others and about authority. A relational parent concentrates on understanding the child's heart. Therefore, the child feels loved, even if they do bad things and they have consequences and discipline. And it really sometimes is not a lot of difference except attitude. It's the attitude of the parent toward the child that is so identified in a different way. And I would say there's a fine line, but it's not. There are subtleties just because we are not good at identifying these even in ourselves. But that's what we have to learn at the ranch, is these are not our own children. We don't know them like we do our birth children. We don't know their history. We don't know why they act the way they do. There's such an advantage to raising your own children, because you know them, and you even know their old sin nature because they get yours. And you know before they do something why they're doing it and what they're thinking in many times. But we don't, these kids that come. So we have to work real hard at being the kind of parent to these kids. The child matures thinking relationships are about who you are, not what you do. You know, God loves me for who I am in Christ, not what I do. He's forgiven me for what I do wrong, but He loves me for what I am. And when we can think through that as a parent, we become good parents. The child grows up with healthy attitudes, especially about their self and about authority. For instance, I grew up hearing my mother say, God, I thank you for giving me these gifts, these children that I've got. They're special. I heard her say that over and over. I heard my dad say that. I recognized that they saw us as an individual who had value because of who God was. And as I grew and recognized who God was in my life, I started to recognize. Now, this is the time I start seeing people with tears in their eyes. And I start seeing husbands and wives punch each other. And that's happening here today. But I'm going to tell you, in this culture, we're being taught wrong about parenting. And we've got to undo the process that we're in many times to redo it the correct way. I have a lot of opportunities and have in the past of teaching parenting and marriage. And that's one of the ministries I'm going to be going into. So you guys pray for me as part of my ministry to do this. Pray for Glen Haven. We have a lot of fun. We laugh a lot. We pray a lot. We hurt a lot. We need your prayers. We need your support in prayers more than we need your money. But let me tell you about money. We don't operate without money, just like this church doesn't. And I'm not ashamed of telling people, we want your support. This is who we are and this is what we do. But I can tell you right now, we are not into compulsing anyone to give our ministry. Our attitude is, you're free to give and you're free not to give. And I'd much rather you pray for me than give me money. But for those of you who desire to help and want to know the needs, I can tell you right now, we have lost 40% of our income in the last 3 to 4 months. We have all taken 40 to 50% cuts in salary and pay and benefits. We have lost our health insurance this year. And we're right now 21,000 behind in our payroll. God's still good. He's going to be faithful. The ranch has been around 26 years. We're not going to go away. We know how to cut back more and live within our means, which is what we're doing. And the kids are being taken care of as good as they were before, and they're being loved. But we need your prayers, okay? Because we want a higher level. We want to take care of more. We want our staff to have more. We want our staff to feel like they don't have to worry about their own finances to minister to people, just like you care about your pastor. So would you pray for us? Would you remember us? This is one of the toughest ministries anybody ever gets into. It takes more out of you personally than anything in any ministry that you can be involved in, or as much as any ministry. These kids will suck you dry of all your emotions and all your physical abilities, and every minute of your day if you allow them to. We have to work hard at maintaining our marriages and remembering that we are married because we get so involved in caring for these kids at the ranch. So continue to pray for Dwayne as he takes the steering wheel, as he begins to recognize all the problems that any young manager would have, because right now the load is heavy. I left there at a good time. Things went south just as I resigned. And I really wondered what God was doing, but I am so thankful that Dwayne is there. Would you pray for him and pray for us? Thank you for giving us this time, Joe. Appreciate it. If you have any questions, ask me. Okay. Oh, okay. Any questions? Yes.
Maybe I should have asked it at a meeting, but have any of those boys ever boldly struck out to find Hidden Valley on their own? I know it's 7 miles away.
That's not very far. It's the girls who strike out toward the boys. It really is. I went there. I was there 16 years ago, and it was the boys who tried to get the girls. It's now girls trying to get the boys. And it really is. And it's absolutely amazing. We had two girls in the dead of winter, 14 degrees at night. It snowed, actually, that night. And they jumped out of the upper story window, 10 foot across a ledge that was 20 foot high, to a balcony, went down and walked the 8 miles around instead of the 4 miles through the woods, because they were scared of going through the woods at 2 in the morning. And they knocked on the boys' windows. We still are not sure what all happened in the next 20 minutes, but they decided to go back home, so they stole one of the golf carts one of the parents, mothers had, that uses around the ranch that's been given to us. They went around the road with the golf cart, got back to Hidden Valley, and before they went down the road to Hidden Valley, they actually snuck down into the forest and hid the golf cart on the trail that we as staff use every day. Now, that's God's sense of humor, because the next morning our staff found it, knew what was going on, and we began to question. It's funny. They all have a code of not telling on each other, but when one breaks, they all break, and you hear things you didn't even think happened. They start telling you everything. And we call those times a come to Jesus. And we get to do a lot of cleanup that's happened over the last 3 months when those things happen, because we find out the stories. But we have to work at that. That's a big problem.
I'm sure you got a lot of times where it's not appropriate to laugh, but it's going to be hard not to.
We go to each other's houses and do a lot of laughing. If we didn't, we'd probably leave. It's so sad as to what happens sometimes. We have to have a sense of humor about it. Anything else? You're hungry. You're ready to go home.
What is the annual budget?
What's the annual budget? Up until a few months ago, it was $1.2 million a year.
The follow-up question is, you had an opportunity to tap into a source of a charitable foundation of some sort. How did that ever turn out?
We haven't had the personnel at the ranch to get out and actually make that happen. Yes, sir. We've got it in place. We have started a foundation called Glenhaven Foundation, and we've got a separate nonprofit called Foundation to do that, and that would help. And we've done all the research, and we're ready to do it. We just don't have the right personnel to go out and contact people and do the personal relationship that it takes to get that done. Yeah.
Can you take just a brief moment to describe a family always matters?
Sure. I've started a ministry called Family Always Matters, and some of the teaching that I just did briefly there at the end is what I do. I have taught in about 12 states over the last few years, and it's accumulation. I've started a web page. Everybody does that now if they're important, right, Joe? Fortunately, my daughter married two years ago, she married a young man who's a computer geek, and I say that with affection. He has helped me start a web page, but we're just getting it started. Our intention is I'm writing a book on family. It'll have marriage and parenting involved in it. And since God has let me recover from these two heart attacks, an open heart surgery and a stroke, I'm now getting to a place where I want to give back something here. And I can't do what I used to do. I feel very compelled to strike out in this area. And I have been doing this for quite a while as far as speaking and working with parents, marriages, and counseling. We get a lot of phone calls from pastors who call and say, Quinn, I can't talk to anybody. I can't tell anybody, but I've got a problem with pornography. I'm sitting here in my office all day, and did you know that 30% of pastors, I'm talking about all denominations, are watching and addicted to pornography in this country? It's not you, Joe. Your wife is right there with you, I know. But I'll tell you, that's a devastating problem. The sexual abuse, all those other things, God has just opened some doors for me, and I hope to walk through them. Yes, sir.
When your agricultural area of cattle and horses, is it self-sustaining, or do you have to buy all your feed?
It pays for itself. The selling of calves every year. We have registered beef master, and we have about 30 mama cows. We buy a bull every 2 or 3 years, and the kids help us at hay, and they help us in the process. So that keeps them active in a work environment that's real. We don't make them dig a hole and fill it back up. They actually are out there doing something that's necessary, but it pays for itself. We don't make any money off of it, but it pays for itself. You understand? Okay. Any other questions? All right, Joe.
Thank you, Quinn.
Thank you.
I believe you know the two guys in the middle of that picture, don't you?
I do. Yes, sir.
That's his son and grandson. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for Quentin's appearance here today and for his message. We do pray for Glen Haven, for those who serve there, for the children who have ministered to, and for your grace that continues to sustain them in this ministry. It is our prayer that your wall of fire would be around the ranch during this time of economic downturn. Sustain them with their encouragement, their motivation, their direction. Give them what they need to function during this period of time so that once it is ultimately over, they can continue more motivated with the ministry that they have started so many years ago to help these children and those yet to come. Be with Quentin and Beverly as they return to the ranch, and we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.